everybody. This is Christy. I am the Intimate Warrior. I thank you so much for stopping by. And as always, I send you love. I want to begin this video by telling you a story that I just remembered today as I was doing an errand. I went through my wallet and I got my registration out, or I found a registration to my old vehicle. And I want to tell you the story about this vehicle. So it was actually the first car that I have owned, I guess, in about 15 or 16, could be 18 years. So I went without my own vehicle, my own ride, my own way. And I need you to please be patient and just bear with me as I emphasize on these words here. For that amount of time, after my auto accident, I really went without a car because, of course, I stopped working or couldn't work any longer and I wasn't making any income. And so I just, you know, didn't own one myself any longer. And, of course, because of my physical limitations after my auto accident and the pain, I just didn't have the ability to. I think if you remember in one of my videos early on, I mentioned that I was unable to drive for about 4 or 5 years. It's when the doctors took away my driver's license because of my inability to handle my own self physically, but, you know, also emotionally and mentally, and that's something that I would not have admit a long time ago. So I went without a vehicle for, I'm going to say 18 years, my estimation here. And the first vehicle the first opportunity we had was for a vehicle, and that was a Saturn. This vehicle was very important to me, very important to me, highly significant, because it actually came to me. It came to me after my awakening process began. So yeah, I'm going to go ahead and use 18 years. So one day, I've told this story many times, and you might see a picture if you go through my feed of my car. One morning, my husband woke up, and I think this was in January or some time frame. I don't know exactly any longer because I don't hold that much value to it like I used to. Value, well, yes, I hold understanding to it, but I don't hold attachment to it. There's a difference. My husband went outside and I was in the kitchen still making breakfast. And for some reason, it was still warm enough for him to be outside. So this time frame might be a little off. I don't really know again. He went outside and I was in the kitchen making my coffee, and there was still a frost. It was warm, but a frost. So I don't really understand the time frame here. And I heard him holler, "Christy, get out here." And my first thought was, and this goes back to what I have actually been talking about, someone stole my car. Someone stole my car. I don't know why. I just thought someone stole my car when he was almost in a panic, or I thought it was a panic voice. I got out there and went outside and I looked and I stopped in my tracks just before I got to my car. And I looked. He said, "Look at your car." On my car was just frost, but it looked like feathers. And so, oh my gosh, I was so touched. I was like, God is touching me. God is speaking to me. And so this car became so important in my life because I began to really, although I was practicing my faith, I began to see things in my outside world here. You know, which means I wasn't looking inside of my heart and seeking hope and greater knowledge. I mean, I was trying to. But the human mind wants us to find things in our reality that tell us there is a God. We seek that so we can be reassured and have proof of God. I was like, oh my gosh, you really are here. You do exist. There's this magic. There's this God, there are angels there. I knew it all along, but I just had to have some proof. I mean, my entire car was covered in feathers of frost, and that's what I have been labeling it as. Feathers of frost all over my car, not just at one spot, everywhere. And not my husband's car, not my mother-in-law's car, nothing else. It was mine. I felt special. Now, my car was also a purplish black. Depending on if the light hit it, it was purple if the light was hitting it. If the light wasn't hitting it, it was black. Purple and black are my two favorite colors. So now this car was really, really even more important to me because it contained my two favorite colors. So I want to talk about, I guess last year, this car, I tell you, became very important to me because it was attached to my awakening process, and it was attached to the proof that I needed to see, to know that God was really, really talking to me, that all of my inner visions was really, really God talking to me. So highly significant, highly valuable, something that I was holding on to. But one day I was driving to the grocery store and I began to cry. I remembered at a point of my life where after my son was born, and he was born premature, that I was in a very low state even then. You know, I was tired all the time because I was a single mom, and he was born premature, and I was young. You know, I was 20 when he was born. And so I was doing this all alone, or trying to do this all alone. I had my mom, you know, of course, and my family, but still, you know, I was doing it on my own. Lots of things were going on during that time frame that I'm not really going to mention, because this is not about putting people down in my life. This is about my own journey and my own lesson. So anyway, things began. My son was always sick, and so I couldn't work. I felt it wasn't right to work, or I couldn't find a job that was supportive enough of me losing time from work. But even in my losing time from work, what happens? I wasn't able to pay my rent, my, you know, electric bill, phone bill, things like that. I wasn't able to take care of myself. And so I was losing my home, lost my car, lost everything in trying to do what was right. Oh, here it comes. In trying to do what was right and be a mom. You know, because I never thought that having an abortion was right. In my own mind, killing something because of, whether I thought it was a mistake or not, having unprotected sex, whatever, it was my responsibility to raise this child. If I made a mistake in my life or felt I did, it's not the child's fault. So why would I do something? I already created something negative, and I'm going to now cover it up and take away this negative form and think that my life is going to be better. I never thought it was going to be right. My heart always told me it wouldn't happen right. And so, you know, here I thought I did the right thing, yet everything else is falling apart. Everything is falling around me. Everything is just ripping from underneath me and doing what was right. So anyway, my sister ended up offered for me to go live with them for a period of time until, you know, things got back together, whatever. So I was still down there with no vehicle, no way to get my son to the doctor's office or the emergency room. And we were pretty much in the emergency room at least once a week, at least, for his complications. My mom, so I'm not going to talk about that either, because it's not about putting anybody down or making you see from a different perspective here. I don't know. I think it's necessary. My mom was a co-signer of my car. And because I wasn't responsible or unable, and I wasn't able to pay for the vehicle anyway, it could either be repossessed or she could pay it off or take over the payments. And so she decided to pay it off, but she took the car from me. And she ended up giving it to my sister. My sister, it was always very convincing of things in my life. I always thought my sister had everything. She could just enter into a room and people would just throw things at her. She was that type of person. No matter what it is, she had a great argument that people would just give her. I always thought that I think life was easy for her. I don't think that any longer, but in my upbringing, I always did. I was like, why is my life so hard and hers is so easy? But so they ended up getting my car, and I think they had two cars at the time, and I had none. I was having a hard time getting him to the doctors, and they were working both jobs. They both had a job and odd hours, so, you know, it wasn't my, I wasn't about to ask them for something that they weren't going to willingly offer to me. I'm already living in their home and doing my best, you know, cleaning and cooking, and that was my responsibility at the time because I wasn't working yet. So I ended up receiving a car, and I forget how this took place. I forget the people that got me connected with it. A car was donated to me and my son. A family donated the car to me. Instead of giving it to their church, they gave it to me. And it was a Buick Regal, one of those large, big cars. And it just bounced and bounced because the shock system was just off. And I remember it. It was so embarrassing, making so many noises and just bouncing all along. But it did its job for me. And so I was reminded of that moment when I was driving down the street about, you know, it could have been more than a year ago, but I'm just going to say a year ago. And I was driving to get the groceries and I began to cry because I remember that moment where God was there for me. Out of nowhere, I was given a car. And in my heart, I wanted to give my car away. I wanted to donate my car. And so I came home and I told my husband about that. The thought and the emotion was very strong that I needed to give this car away. It didn't take place. Okay, so my husband and I discussed it. And he was like, well, you know what? We're having a hard time here. How about let's just go ahead and try and sell it? Well, and as preparing to sell it, the car developed issues. So we didn't, you know, want to put it out there for sale. And then, of course, in that time frame, Barb, her health began to even deteriorate even more so. So we just forgot all about the car, and it sat for a very long time. And every now and then, my mind would go back to my car, thinking about it. You know, I could get this fixed now. If I have the money, I could get it fixed, or I could still sell it. Well, we've given it away anyway. And it just gone. So now the car has come back into my awareness today. And it actually is working with what I wanted to talk about. Anyway, if you are very open to understanding your entire life, understanding is going to be given to you. Patience and the openness to understand it, though. You know, when we are actually always in prayer mode, I need to know this. God, tell me this. Why am I this? Or what's happening this? Where am I from? All kinds of questions. Your heart is actually going to tell the truth to God of what you should know and what is of great use to you. I ended up in my path here, letting go. I stopped asking questions. And I just became an open source. I understood that in my own readiness, in my own heart, that when it was time to understand something, I was going to have wisdom. But when you keep on, I need to know, I have to know, you know, it's an attachment. You have to have ideas. You have to, you're attaching yourself to something, and that becomes a form of of resistance, and of course, a negative aspect of it. I mention this to you guys. Everything is going to be revealed to you as long as you have faith, trust, and love. Everything. If you're walking the path of love, you're going to know your entire life's journey. Everything is going to make a connection. You can't rush what you are not ready for. If you're asking to know for something and you are not ready for it, it can actually cause you much harm. Resistance. You're building up resistance. And so, as I was just messing and waiting for today's grocery pickup, I opened up an older wallet that is still in my purse, and I saw my old registration. And it's funny because I told my husband that I didn't have the registration. I know where the title is. And just because we're having a discussion, I said I cleaned out everything and I don't remember where I put it because, you know, this past year has been really, really tough for us in our life lessons, and especially with the passing of and taking care of my husband's mom. We've had a lot going on this past year. Lots of changes, lots of losses. But lots of great, great blessings. So I was like, I don't have that anymore. I mean, nowhere to begin to look anyway. It would take forever. So I found it today for a reason. Because of where we are at, and I've mentioned Zion, I've mentioned Chet. Excuse me, my husband is calling, so hopefully I won't lose my place in this. Okay, sorry about that, guys, with that interruption from my from this video. So I have been talking about, and I guess it begins, I think, with the mark upon the door. Of course, I spoke about it in that. Yeah, I also wrote it in the 444 update. And it connects, anyway, through most of my videos here. And I also put it through Here's Your Sign with angel number 911. So Chet is the, and it is the eighth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. Now, Chet, if you take that number 8, of course, it's standing as a number 8, and it continues on. Of course, it looks like DNA, right? It's a continuous flow of information. It's infinite, and that's what the number 8 signifies. Also, it looks like two serpents that are climbing. This is, again, both the Vav and Zion hooking together, which is connected again by that yoke that I mentioned. And this is an indication of you working with a higher aspect, or the Holy Spirit, or the ray of creation, whatever it is that you have understanding of, the Holy Spirit or Jesus Christ. Okay, it is a cooperation between male and female that are now working together. They are getting married underneath that altar. It is also that the yoke is also again in the Bible that is it's spoken about with the two ox that are being bounded together or binded together, however you pronounce that. Also within Chet, it takes in action for both male and female to actually work together. Now, this is the world of action. It needs another force, though. It needs that divine mother, the principle of the divine mother, which works through the Holy Spirit, that's actually going to make that ray of creation work for you. Now, the ray of creation, or the feminine divine mother, works through the seventh ray, or the seventh letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is Zion. The sixth letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Vav. So six and seven must work together to create Chet. Chet, working in cooperation, is going to create the ninth letter of the Hebrew alphabet. The ninth letter of the Hebrew alphabet is Teth, which acts or looks like a serpent that is in a basket, wound up in the basket, that can depending on which way this cooperation between male and female is working, can either take you to the top, back to the higher kingdom or to the kingdom, or it can descend and take you into hell. So I wanted to emphasize, again, because it's so important, in my reality, every single second I am wondering, am I supporting my husband? Am I supporting my husband? Now, my right side of my body is a little more tender. My right shoulder is tender. My right wrist is tender. My right leg and shin is very tender. And it happened, I began yesterday, I guess. And I'm like, well, what is going on? What is going on? But I also got the message that if you are a female, and I think I mentioned this in yesterday's video, or in the video that is labeled the word, I think. Maybe not. I don't know. I can't remember. The video was so long, so I didn't do a double check. I mentioned it anyway, that male and female must work together. And the Pingala is the masculine aspect energy, or the masculine serpent, and the Ida is the feminine aspect, or feminine serpent. Now, what happened in Adam and Eve? They fell from the kingdom, right? They fell out of Eden. That means that Eden, or Eve, which Eden signifies bliss. You have complete bliss. We're trying to make our way back to Eden, the Garden of Eden, the higher kingdom, which works through knowledge, which is what I've been talking about through the throat. That is the secret doorway of knowledge that both Adam and Eve are trying to make their way back into Eden through the door of knowledge, because they use knowledge, or they lack knowledge, to fall. Eve coerced Adam. She was, you know, working with Adam, but she chose to work with Adam in a negative way. I'm going to pull Adam down here and get ourselves out of bliss, out of Eden, out of the kingdom. And we're going to come down here. And it is the in Yasod, it is known as Egypt, okay, because it's very dry. It becomes very drying. You're trying to create more moisture, and it has to fill with moisture. You're trying to heal Yasod, the earth element. You're trying to heal that. So they both have to work together. If you're living in this reality as a woman, you have to heal. I mean, it requires healing of both male and female, but you're trying to connect more so with the masculine energy within you. And if you are a male in this reality, you're trying to love and nurture more of the feminine aspect, but you have to also nurture the male aspect within you. Both must be in complete harmony within ourselves. And so right now, because I am a feminine energy, and if you are a female, a woman in this lifetime, the masculine energy is now rising to meet Eve, because Eve is a part of the Divine Mother now. At the higher level, she becomes the Divine Mother, and she is making her way because of Zion. She's trying to become crowned again. That is what Tet can become, and depending on the form of the use of Tet, it can become the crowned woman who's working with the male aspect of self, or it can become the negative form of Tet, because the serpent has two ways to go, up or down. So how is this connecting with why I mentioned Saturn? Because Saturn, when Saturn is being worshipped, some religions are worshipping Saturn. And if you've done any research about it, you know, there's so much to this. There are some people that say that Saturn actually has this emblem written, imprinted on it. You know, I don't know, because I haven't seen it myself. But anyway, Saturn, if you're worshiping the Saturn planet, You're worshiping a false god. You're worshiping, you have created an idol within this reality. If we worship anything in this reality, hold value over anything in this reality that is highly significant, meaning an attachment to it, it becomes an idol and a worshiping. And that is what the golden calf that the Egyptians worshipped in earth, which is acts as Yesod, of the tree of life, then which also is our sexual region, which is also going to be very feminine. You are trying to get male and female unified in the sex to mingle with each other in a loving way, not in abuse. So if we are worshiping the golden calf and binding things on earth, we are not honoring our inner gods, because there's both male and female, and father and mother and son, which are one aspect that has just split into three forms. You are not honoring the kingdom. You are not seeking the higher ground. You are not even in the alignment of love. So I mentioned that quote in the Bible in one of my other videos, and I'm not going to again in today's video. But Saturn deals with the seventh letter of the Hebrew alphabet of Zion, because it works with the Sabbath day, Saturday. Now, there are still also religions that worship or keep the Sabbath day holy in either Saturday. Some religions do Saturday, and some religions do Sunday. They are keeping the Sabbath day holy. They have chosen a specific time to worship. Again, it's a form of making something in this reality an idol. The seventh letter of the Hebrew alphabet is the feminine aspect, but more so the divine mother. It is what we are supposed to not hold value over the male. If you look at the Hebrew alphabet, the Vav, the sixth letter, which is the male principle, comes before the feminine aspect. It doesn't mean that the man is above the woman, but it doesn't mean that she is lesser than either. Now, there's lots of scriptures in the Bible, and I'm going to actually push pause here and get to it because I want to. All right, so I found Ephesians 5:22 through 33, and I'm not going to read it all. It says, "Wives, submit yourself unto your own husbands and unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church." And it continues on. "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." Now, there's a lot that is still mentioned in the Bible about husband and wife, or man and woman. I know in my reality, the Bible scripture has been used as a form of abuse. That many men in my reality have used that you are lesser than Christy. You are supposed to obey me. You are supposed to obey me. I am the head of the house. They take it in the literal context. And lots of men will use this as a form of abuse and control of their wives or girlfriends, whatever it is. And they're using it. They don't understand it. They've read the Bible and their mind is saying, oh, I am supposed to, control my wife now. I am the head, because the Bible says I am the head here, that I am supposed to. But you don't continue reading on where it says, "Men, love your wives, just as Christ has loved your church." So if it's telling the women to submit to your husband, yet husband, love your wife, nobody is supposed to control another. It means that both of these elements, or both couples, are working together. So, if you are not loving your husband completely in your reality, or your boyfriend, or, and even this goes includes your girlfriend. Please excuse me for not mentioning that or saying that specifically first on. If we are not loving our husband or our wives or boyfriend and girlfriend correctly, it also means that we are not honoring both male and female aspects of self or energies within. How we treat people in this reality is exactly what is going on internally. You have every single chakra is alternating in male and female, male and female. When both energies are actually working together, it mixes in the heart. When we are actually working, and I'm going to eventually get to parts of the body that all of this is working with, although I'm mentioning the heart right now, I'd like to give you deeper explanation. Because as we're working at, you know, portions of our body here, we're also going to be working portions of our mind. So we're working, actually, because we're in Aleph, the ox. And although ox right now works with the throat, you can't complete the crown until the word or knowledge is given. Complete knowledge of yourself is given. Yet in order to have complete knowledge of self, you must have the three aspects of God united within the heart. So, but first, before that, you have to have the accumulation of all 12 soul salts plus the 13 of Christ, because you have upheld the law of love. If you uphold the law of love, you will receive the keys to the kingdom, which opens the crown. So what we are trying to do, again, we're making our way back to source. A point, a dot. The dot only opens at the crown. So what happens in the very beginning anyway is that there is this point and then this dot. God speaks. God, as a father, speaks and needs the wife to complete to create the son. So those three aspects have to reunite in the heart for you to have an awareness of it in the mind. I hope that makes sense. So three split, or one split to become three, you're trying to get those three back into one source, which is going to take you back to the top of the crown, that point, the dot, the bindu that I have mentioned in my video. We have to work simultaneously with our counterpart. You have to be loving, caring, nurturing, and guiding of your counterpart continuously. So for myself, I have witnessed that my masculine energy is now rising to meet. I have been experiencing, and I'm not trying to be sexual here, okay? Or vulgar, but my breasts have been very tender. The breast for a woman who is about to give birth or giving birth to life and feeding her baby grows milk. And of course, as this was happening for me, I'm thinking of milk and honey, because I'm thinking in terms of spirit. I'm thinking in terms of heaven. I'm thinking in terms of the law and of truth. What we are going through has nothing to do with this reality. Giving birth has nothing to do with actually having a child. Although I've been having very loving thoughts about being a mother figure here lately, ironically. So I knew in my mind that because of my breasts are feeling this way, and I know because I'm a woman that when I was trying to breastfeed my son, it can be a very heartwarming thing, but it can also cause pain for the mother because of the suckling part. And so that is actually what is taking place for me. It's loving and nurturing, comforting, but also a little bit tender, which goes back to the tender mother, which goes back to the Ma Ray, the Mother Ray. She's very tender and loving, which goes and works with the cerebral spinal fluid. There has to be the Pia Mater, which works with, you have the Pia Mater, the Dura Mater, oh gosh, and the other one. So you have the three matters, and maters, and it all works with, you know, the Holy Mother being able to transform or transfer all the elements together. So that lots of it is going into play here because we're working in the heart. Well, the heart is the sixth sphere of the Tree of Life. Yesod is the ninth sphere of the Tree of Life. When you exchange, but six also works with Vav of the Hebrew letter of the Hebrew alphabet and is the male figure. Now, the male figure, of course, fell as well into Yesod, began to use sex in the wrong way. But, of course, we all know that Eve did as well. When we are at the point of exchange here, from one element to another, the heart is where everything begins to connect. The Star of David or the Seal of Solomon, they're pretty much the same thing, except the Seal of Solomon, if you look at it, it's that continuous triangle, two connected triangles, the same thing as the Star of David is, but there's no continuous flow. If you were to continuously draw it, they would connect together, which means connection of elements of higher aspect and lower aspect that are finally working and merging together in complete flow, which is also what the eight symbolizes. There's a continuous flow and work of energy that is always moving in complete harmony. In the heart, when we accumulate all 12 cell salts, this is also significant or a sign of the Knights of the Round Table, I think. And please forgive me if I forget certain words and phrases in my videos. You accumulate all 12, that 12 creates the 13th aspect of Christ. Christ, because, and then when you're at a higher level, it becomes, and I'm going to push pause here because I'm not remembering. Okay, I'm sorry, since I forgot what I was actually going to talk about. Now, the heart, though, gives off an energetic feel that is so strong. Now, this is when it's spoken in the Bible that no man is going to be able to harm you when you enter into the kingdom. And of course, this is my own phrasing. Okay, why love? When we are in complete alignment of love, there is nothing that's outside of us that's going to ever harm us. We know ourselves so well. That is also what the Seal of Solomon is all about. King Solomon was given a ring or had a ring, and that ring was supposed to guard off negative entities. The purpose of it was to guard off negative entities. Now, we're not talking about demons here, that our mind creates these ideas of what the devil or bad entities are. Whatever your mind is, like on scary movies, whatever it is that you're thinking of an entity is or a demon is, it's not about that. There is nothing that can harm you. There's a lot I want to talk about, but it's not, so I'm just going to stick with this. It's hard to make other people understand about negative forces, because they haven't walked the path yet. You have to really have an experience. You have to have greater knowledge. Not greater as in the form of I know more than you knowledge. If you are on the path of love, love here is the understanding. If you're on the path of love, there is no demon. There is no entity. There is no negative force. Love does not understand that. It doesn't know that. It's not because you're being naive. It's because you learn the truth. Love will tell you the truth of what it all is. Just like we have had this idea of the devil. The devil is Christ in its negative form. So, King Solomon had this ring that was supposed to protect him from all negative forces. The negative forces is in the mind. The mind believes in things that it has been taught or read about. And it's going to create the illusion of truth. And therefore, you can see these things in your reality or internally within the mind's eye. However it is, because it's a reflection. Whether the reflection is of internally, we can see it. If we believe it, it's going to be seen. That's why also when we are observing internally through our mind's eye, if we are seeing something and we have an attachment to it, then that is our lesson. We cannot see anything in our mind's eye and have an attachment to it, whether good or bad. It just is. And you learn properly when it has become what it just is. So also in the Bible, it talks about having the breastplate of righteousness. And this is what's actually taking place here for me and for many people, because we're building on higher aspects of really becoming. The heart is becoming so strong that because it's knowing itself, the spirit is a developing in matter. Not here yet. We are in development phase still. So if I tell you here we are, it's going to take, it could take you months. It could take you another year to complete it. It all is based upon how open we are to understanding. You know, for my Saturn is highly significant. And this is why I've waited for certain things to be even told. Even though I've had information for a long time, knowledge for a long time, the timing isn't right because I have had to actually walk my own walk. And that is also what Chet is about. It's not just an infinity sign or two serpents connecting all the time. It's the ladder. It's Jacob's ladder, indicating that we have to always walk a walk where knowledge is given. Greater knowledge of self. Remember, the tree of knowledge of good and evil can go upwards or it can go down, depending on the pull. How much are you stealing and robbing the energy from your counterpart? Like today, I woke up very, very tired, and actually my exhaustion began yesterday. Hit with this internal exhaustion, and it kind of felt like it was just through my middle, just draining my energy, pulling me down. And I was like, please, I spoke with my inner being. I need, can you please give me some assistance today? Not I need. Please give me some assistance today. I'm going to have my granddaughter today, and I could use some energy here. And breathing it out. And I said, I need. So any form of I in a sentence is a form of ego. And so I have been learning to still annihilate my ego. And I hope to make another video in reference to that as well. We shouldn't have a need whatsoever. And how we phrase our phrasing is an indication of where we are, who we are. So be mindful of that. So I know I have been in that real learning process again. You go through these phases continuously. How aware are you of your eyes? I need, I want, I must, you know. So back to the breastplate again. And also, it talks about the breastplate with all these jewels. Okay, the accumulation of all 12 salts. Every single jewel that's on this vest is the accumulation of all 12 zodiacal signs and their stones that are in relationship to it. You can't create the philosophical stone until all the accumulation of the 12 salts per raising of the sacred secretion. If you are not accumulating through all 12 signs, and I mean, it's not just for 1 year continuously here. I'm still working with it. I will not stop working with my accumulation for the rest of my life because that is what love is. Love is like a dedicated walk by walk, year to year. So if you actually are reading in certain books telling you that you need to accumulate all 12 cell salts, and it's telling you that you will be done after 1 year, it's wrong. Love doesn't stop ever. It doesn't stop. You will be in this process of love for the rest of your life if you are on this path. It doesn't mean that you will not reach complete knowledge of self. It just means that even in knowing ourselves completely, in reaching, if you want to use enlightenment, if we stop our accumulation, stop loving, then we are going to drop back down and fall out of Eden again. We're never done. Never done. And so this is why my breast area, my chest area, is tender. Because the accumulation of all of those 12 cell salts and the stones are uniting in my heart and creating a heart that can function properly, that it won't be hurt if my husband says something, that it won't judge another individual. Our daily life, again, tells us who we are. Without our daily experiences, we would never really understand who we are. And if you think your daily experiences are still about how bad a person is, or how lacking another person is, you're missing out about who you are. You're forgetting about who you are. So I woke up a little bit cranky this morning because I am really tired. I was really tired this morning, and I'm slowly coming out of it as I learn about why I'm feeling this way. I'm coming out of it. And so being tired, you're like, you're irritating me. When you are tired, you can be very irritable. But if you are seeing yourself and your irritability, and then you're seeing yourself, how you're treating somebody else in that irritability, you're learning. You can learn. But if you're somebody who is tired and irritable, and then you're being mean to somebody else and not loving a counterpart, your partner in your life, or your friends or your family in your life, who are of the opposite sex or same sex, it doesn't matter. They're all teaching you about how you're treating male and female internally. So here being at, of course, we're working through the Ma Ray, which is also working through the Ruby Ray of the heart. It's still working with the heart, but it's working, which is also the Ruby Ray works through the eighth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, which is Chet, the union of two greater individuals, two beings that are choosing love. Tet is able to rise. The serpent is able to rise and create the three flames that are working together. Of course, the three flames work in the sacred heart of the threefold flames that are able to maintain their own vibration together at the same balance, working together, which creates the shield of Solomon, the seal of Solomon. Before I say goodbye, and this is why Saturn of my car is now working with what we are going through. I've had this greater, I've worked with something. Now my reality is reflecting what I have worked for. Now I know why I had to give up the value of my car. I had to learn to give away my car, to not have an attachment to this thing that came into my life. Not only was it, again, my first vehicle in an X amount of years, this is mine. I have something, yes, of value in this world. Now I can do what I want. But Saturn used in a negative form takes you to hell. Holding value upon this earth takes you to hell. Even though I saw God's work, angels, whatever it is, because it took me to a verse in the Bible about, what is it? It took me to Psalm 91:4, and it says, "He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler." And now this even makes greater sense for me today. Shield. I'm talking about the shield that protects you. The wings that protect you. The love that protects you. Love protects you. And so I had to learn to detach from materialism. To detach from having, even though I thought God was working within my life. And this thing now, oh my gosh, I can't let it go. Because God touched my car. He's touching my life. God's always teaching us how to detach. The seventh letter of the Hebrew alphabet of Zion, attachment. If you are using the Sabbath day negatively, then it turns into Saturn or Satan in its negative form, evil. You're not using it mindfully for the greatest good. You are then being moved. Oh, you're dragging down Adam. Every time you use the sexual energy, Zion, the Sabbath day, you are, if you are using it in negative form, you're also pulling down your counterpart. He's coming down with you. He's falling. And we're supposed to make Adam rise back up again. When Adam reaches the crown with, it's only because he's working with the feminine aspect and the divine mother and the ray of creation. And you enter into the kingdom of heaven. You return back into the kingdom of heaven. All right. Well, I hope this video makes sense. I know I appreciate everything that I have spoken about, of course, because it is my own experience. And I hope that my experiences gives you greater understanding to how life really is about completion or the completion of our own existence. Life is about all of creation in our life. From the moment that we are born to the time that we pass on in human form is about God creating every single thing, whether good or bad, to teach us about God and about ourselves and about which path we are trying to get to. It's much harder to go back to the kingdom because it takes greater effort. It's easier to fall down the well. Because the force drags you down. But it's harder. We need something else to help us rise, to climb. That force is harder. We get more tired and tired because the force is trying to pull us down. You know, so that's why it's more difficult to rise than it is to fall. Yet, the reward is so much greater when we climb, instead of stay fallen in the ground. This is Christy. Much love, health, and healing your way. I am bringing purpose to your life. Take care.